Figured that was my cue to get the show on the road. But good to be in church tonight. Good to see all of you. Thankful that God got us all here safely. Looking forward to hearing preaching of his words, getting to sing a few songs and praise him tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to ask Brother Wally, if you'll lift your voice and ask for God's blessing on tonight's service.
I'll wait until this couple sits. Not the first time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come and with thankful hearts for who you are. We come only because you called us from the world of sin. We thank you. We come clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would be with us this evening. Whatever is said and done, our music would be pleasing to you. The word would come with truth and power. You would give give the pastor clarity of thought, that he would break the bread of life with us. And it might not fall on dead ears, that we could sit here and with the Spirit do the work in each one's heart.
Yes.
So bless us. May your name be praised, honored, and glorified in this place tonight and in our walk as well. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 354. I invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, page 354.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
118, sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," page 118.
Having a good week thus far. Thank the Lord. Miss Donna had a procedure today, and thank the Lord she came through fine with that. So thank you for those that prayed for her today. She's just home resting this evening, so please continue to keep her in prayer. I'm glad it all went well there with that. If you take your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on kind of what we were looking at last week. I'd like to finish up the second part of it, looking at two wisdoms found in the Bible. If you take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter number 7, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 1, Proverbs 7 verse 1, I'd like to look at these scriptures this evening. And we took a little diversion from the book of Jonah, but not totally. And what I mean by that is what led me along to study this section here about two wisdoms found in the Bible. Wisdom is the gaining of knowledge and applying that knowledge that we get. That's considered wisdom. That's a cheap little definition of it. But wisdom does no good unless you implement it. Okay, you can be wise as the wisest man, but unless you implement the wisdom you got, it's really doing you no good. We kind of saw that in the case with Solomon, the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ. Yet Solomon didn't apply the wisdom that he knew. And he took and multiplied strange wives to him and went down to Egypt and all those things like that and caused Solomon's demise. So wisdom, I believe there's two wisdoms in particular that you can find in the Bible. I believe there's a wisdom that comes from Satan, and I believe also there's a wisdom that comes from God. And so I'd like to take a little bit of time tonight to kind of look at these things. And as we look through it, we kind of see the attitude that comes out in Jonah towards the end of the book of Jonah in chapter number 4. Again, there's some that, Jonah, you know, he was swallowed by the whale. People have different interpretations on that. But either way you want to look at it, Jonah, as you would say, or as you would look at it, had something tremendous happen in his life because he was running from God. Okay, I said this before, just being thrown out of a ship into the ocean and the waves are roaring and all that, that's enough to traumatize anybody, much less being swallowed by a whale. Okay, and then getting vomited out on dry land by that whale. Okay, to me, that would shake me up a little bit. It would get my attention a little bit that God sees and knows that everything's going on and I can't run from this God and I got to give an account to this God. But Jonah still goes on in his anger and his displeasure at what God was doing. And I believe Jonah was looking at his own wisdom, his own conceits, his own imaginations, and it was driving him to a place that was not good. And I believe the wisdom that was driving Jonah was an earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. And I think it affected him. But tonight here, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 7. And we're going to be bouncing around a little bit here, looking at this first section of wisdom as far as regards to it coming from the world or the devil. So the Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse number 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct. Lord, thank you for already, Lord, what we've been able to do and sing out these songs for your glory and your honor. And I thank you for that opportunity. So now, Lord, I ask that you just help us now. I pray you clear our minds and our hearts. Father, that we be able to receive what's contained in this precious book. Lord, I thank you for my Bible, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, and I thank you for the new birth. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us this evening, Lord, to apply what we hear. Lord, that we wouldn't just hear it, but, Lord, that it would influence our lives. So we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here, talking about wisdom, as we look at verse number 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." So David, I believe, is giving wisdom or guidance to his son Solomon here. And he says, listen, "Say unto wisdom and treat her like she's your sister and call understanding thy kinswoman." Basically, treat this wisdom, this godly wisdom that I'm about to get you, that's coming from the inspiration of God. I want you to treat this wisdom as you would treat your sister or someone that's a close relative, that's a lady. I want you to treat her that way. I want you to respect her. I want you to reverence her. I want you to listen to the wisdom that comes from her mouth. And he says in verse number 5, "For what purpose? To keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words." Now tonight, I'm not going to look at Proverbs chapter 7 like it's a whorish or a harlot type of a woman trying to draw astray a young man. I'm looking at it as a type of wisdom that's a devilish wisdom that will try to draw us all away from the true wisdom that's found with God and God only. Okay, so that's the way I'm looking at it tonight. You see, in this book of Proverbs, we find two women crying out and trying to arrest the attention of mankind. One representing the wisdom of the Lord, and the other the wisdom of the world and Satan, the god of this world. One of these wisdoms, brethren, is humble, lowly, pure, and it leads to holiness and godliness. This other wisdom is sensual, it's wicked, it's impure, it's proud, it's sinful, and it ultimately leads to a damnation in hell. These two types of wisdoms, and I believe we can find these types of wisdoms in the world today. This first one we're looking at, I want you to notice here in verse number 5, that this stranger, this wisdom that is opposite of the wisdom called your sister or your kinswoman, this wisdom or this strange woman, she tries to flatter with her words. The word flattery means the act of pleasing by artful commendation or compliments, adulations, either false or insincere, or excessive praise. Listen here, brethren, this evening, if someone comes along the lines and desires excessive praise, that's not good. It's not good. Anybody that tries to flatter someone, That's not a good position to be in. And that's a sensual, that's a devilish, and that's an earthly type of wisdom. Now look at verse number 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. All right. So this man's looking out his window. He's looking through his casement and he sees this simple one. He discerns among the youths and he sees a young man void of understanding. If you look over at chapter 9 and verse number 10, what is this young man, what is he void of? He's void of understanding. Well, what does that mean? He's void of realizing the holiness of God. Because look at Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. This man's void of understanding means he's lacking the knowledge of the holiness of God. And brethren, that is one thing that is missing in our churches today, is holiness. Right. Holiness and godliness. A holy walk. Not just the matter of a holy walk in our talk or in our thoughts, but also in the way we dress and we conduct ourselves and what we listen to and what we spend time with. This young man here, he's simple, and the Bible says he's void of understanding. He's void of understanding the fear of God and how holy God is. Verse number 7 or verse number 8. Passing through the streets near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Now, this woman's not a harlot. She has the attire of a harlot. She's dressed like a harlot. She acts like a harlot, but she's not a harlot because she's a married woman. I think this is just a married woman in the Bible, that she's just looking for young men that come by that she can woo into her house while her husband's gone. And the Bible says here in verse number 10 or verse number 11, not only does she have the attire of a harlot, but her heart, Bible says in verse number 9, she has subtle, she's subtle of heart. She's a tricky one. She's a tricky one. And this wisdom that's going out there today is a subtle wisdom. It's a subtle one. And that's how the devil acts. The devil, brethren, we have to realize this evening that Satan is a very, very wise creature. He's a very wise creature. To me, I would have to say Satan is probably one of the wisest creatures that God created. We have to realize, as we're going to look at it this evening, Satan was the anointed cherub. Satan had the highest position there could be in all of creation. In everything that there was, he was given the opportunity to cover the throne of God. You want the most exalted position there is in all the universe? Satan had it. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. So he had one time, he would cover the throne of God. And that was an honor that God gave to him. So the Bible says here that this wisdom that I'm looking at as a type of wisdom, it's got the attire of a harlot, it's subtle of heart, and then verse number 11, she is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. This wisdom I'm looking at here this evening, she's in all places at all times. She lieth in wait at every corner trying to catch the attention of a man. And the Bible says that she's loud and she's stubborn. And that's the way of the devil. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. The word loud means this. It means clamorous or noisy. We all know what loud is. You can speak with a loud voice. You can play music loudly. You can make a loud sound with a hammer. But loud means clamorous. It means noisy. It also means this. The word clamorous means speaking and repeating loud words. It means noisy. It means vociferous. It means loud. And it means turbulent. Now, I'm going to break it down even further. Turbulent, disturbed, agitated, tumultuous, restless, unquiet, refractory, which also means ungovernable, disposed to insubordination and disorder, as turbulent spirits. This woman in this Bible verse here, the Bible says she's loud and she causes a situation of being ungovernable. She's refractory. She's clamorous. She's noisy. She's agitating. She's disturbed. She's restless. And then she's also, the Bible says, she's stubborn. And the word stubborn means this: unreasonably obstinate. Inflexibility fixed in opinion. Not to be moved or persuaded by reasons. Inflexible. So this woman, the Bible says, she's loud and she's stubborn. She's inflexible. She's noisy. She's clamorous. She's restless. She's agitated. And she's trying to pull someone in to her. This wisdom. Now take your Bible and look at James chapter 3 verse 13. James chapter 3 verse 13. Hold your hand there in Proverbs 7. We'll come right back to it. This woman, she's loud. She's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She lieth and wait at every corner. Look at James chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 13. James 3 verse 13. Look what the Bible says here. James chapter 3 verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Then look what it says next. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Look what it says. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Okay, this wisdom's not coming from above. But it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. This wisdom that doesn't descend from above, the Bible says, it says that it's earthly. It's pertaining to this earth. It pertains to this world. This wisdom is devilish, partaking in the qualities of the devil. And the Bible says that it's also sensual, meaning that it's carnal, it's fleshly. It pertains or consists to the gratification of the senses or the indulgence of the appetites. It's a worldly type of wisdom. It pleases the flesh. It pleases the carnality of a man. But this type of wisdom does nothing to cause to grow in your life holiness. It does nothing in your life to cause your life to grow in meekness or in godliness or in grace or mercy or in the love of God. It's a sensual, earthly, and devilish type of wisdom. Brethren, these things are serious this evening. You know why? Because take your Bible, look back over at Proverbs chapter 7. This woman yields, or this woman causes this young man to yield to her ways. And look what the Bible says. I'm going to jump down to verse number, I'll show you very interesting though. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says in verse 12, she lieth and wait. Verse 13 says she caught him and kissed him and had an impudent face. She paid her vows in verse 14. Look what the Bible says. I have peace offerings with me, and this day have I paid my vows. That's an interesting statement, brethren. That's a very interesting statement. Why is she making this statement that she's paid her vows? Who are these vows to? I assume, or I would take, that she's considering or saying that she's paid her vows to the Lord, to God. If it's not to God, then it's to the devil. She's vowed something to somebody, and the Bible says that she has her peace offerings with her and that she's paid her vows. This woman is a religious woman. She's a woman, though, that has a spirit of Jezebel. Okay? She's got a Jezebel spirit. She's going through all the right motions. Got her peace offerings, she's paid her vows, but the Bible says she's going out diligently to seek the face of this young man in verse number 15. She's decked her bed, she's perfumed her bed, verse number 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. Be very careful, brethren. Be very careful of this wisdom, because this wisdom will suck you in so quick before you know it, you're caught up with it and don't even realize what's going on and what you're allowing into your ear gate, your eye gate, and allowing into your mind. This wisdom affects your soul and your spirit. The Bible says in verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Look at verse number 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way, look what it says, to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This is a serious woman right here. And the Bible says, and the Bible gives warning to mankind, saying, O ye children, you better attend to the words of my mouth, and let not your heart decline to her ways. Do not go astray into her paths. She's going to call out. She's looking for the simple ones. She's looking for the ones that are void of understanding to draw them in till a dart strike through their liver, or as a bird that's caught in a snare and not realizing that it's for their life. Her way is the way to hell. And I'm afraid, brethren, today, listen, there's a lot of wisdom out there today, but I'm afraid it's not coming from God. There's a lot of wisdom out there today. I'm afraid it's not coming from God. Brethren, I'll say this again. I've said it before. I covet and I appreciate your prayers. And I try as much as I can, and more, I got a little game going on with myself right here. And every week, I said this before in this church, every week I get a little update, because I got an iPhone. I get a little update on my phone on how much time I've spent on it. And I'm trying to get it underneath an hour a day. I'm trying to get underneath an hour a day. And I don't even watch a lot of stuff on it. And it just goes to show how much time this thing right here sucks up of our time. I don't think God ever intended it to be that way. I am more and more, the phone call I got today, stuff that's been coming across my path the last 3 days, I am more and more convinced as the days get darker and we go further on into the depths of despair, and not only in this country, but in this world, the local church, I am more and more convinced of the importance of a local church. The local church, not the internet. Now, I know we got the internet live streaming tonight, but I'll make this a statement again, that if anybody's watching on live streaming, you can be in church. You need to be in church. Live stream is not a substitute for the local church. I'll say this again. God didn't establish and ordain and sanctify and set apart YouTube. He didn't. He set apart pastors and teachers and evangelists and the local church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. So it's important to be in church. It's important not only to be in church, but brethren, I'm begging you, as Paul beseeched the brethren and all the churches he wrote to, I'm beseeching you to get in your Bibles and stay in your Bibles. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in it, stay in it, stay in it. And I'm more and more convinced the more you stay in it, something might come across your path. And I said this before, you're going to get like, something's not right with that. And you might not be able to figure it out just yet. But because of the time you spend in your Bible, you're going to know, something's not right with this. So stay in the Word of God, brethren. Why? Because look at what the Bible says here. We looked at James, and it talks about a wisdom. Now, I know James can have different applications different times, but James was a real man that sent a real letter to real people. And what he's trying to warn them, and I think you even see it a little bit in the book of Jude, because there's only two times in the King James Bible where the word sensual is used, and it's right here in Proverbs, or in James, and also in Jude, I'm sorry, in James and in Jude, the word sensual is used. And these false teachers that are going out here today, false brethren, creeping in unawares, are going to draw away to themselves by using sensual, devilish, lustful ways to pull people to themselves. Why? Because most people are carnal. They're fleshly. And they like things that apply to their flesh. Brethren, as your pastor and as your teacher, by God's grace, the best thing that I'm going to try to do as a pastor is try by God's grace to help you and to help myself for our godly character to grow. Our godly character. It does no good to have all the wisdom in the world yet have no godly character. Okay? And so I think that's very, very important. Now, take your Bible and look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, And I want you to look at verse number 11. Ezekiel 28 is a very interesting portion of Scripture. We're going to look at the king of Tyrus here, but I believe it makes a change, and it begins to talk about Satan. Okay, I think it starts off towards the king of Tyrus, but then I think it makes a change in verse number 13, which is very ironic as well, 13, number of rebellion. It makes a change to Satan. But look at Ezekiel 28 and verse number 11. Now, I want you to remember everything that we've looked at so far. Proverbs chapter 7, this adulterous woman, this woman that's got the attire of a harlot. She's loud, she's stubborn, she's obstinate. Look what the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So we see a change here, and I think it's in the middle, of part chapter 12 there, where he says, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now I believe he's starting to talk about Satan here. And I believe we can prove this by reading the rest of these verses here. He is full of wisdom. Notice that. The devil is full of wisdom and he's perfect in beauty. Look at verse number 13. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Now the king of Tyrus has not been there. So we've made a transition here. And we're talking about somebody different than the king of Tyrus. We're talking about the devil. Because look at these next verses. In verse 13. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Do you see that? So look how Satan's represented and what he had. The Bible says that he had been in the Eden, the garden of God. And he had all these stones for his coverings. Every precious stone there could be, he had for his covering. He was full of wisdom and he was perfect in beauty. He was a created creature that God made. And like I said, we're going to see he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was, I believe, the most beautiful creature God ever made, and he allowed him to cover God's throne. And the Bible says that he was full of wisdom and he's perfect in beauty, and he also had tabrets and pipes. He's a master, or the master of music. Nobody knows music better than Satan. And nobody knows how better to affect a church than Satan by music. You get music in the church that gets you to start swaying your hips. It's a sensual, devilish, earthly wisdom music. Brethren, you'll say, well, the Bible says the Jews dance, but they were going up and down. Going up and down is okay, but going side to side is where you start getting into. Go to any dance hall. And you got a slow dance coming on. Most couples are swaying back and forth. That's sensual. And between a married couple, that's fine. But outside that, it's essential and it's not right. It's devilish. And the devil knows what he's doing with music today. And I believe, brethren, there's good churches. There's good churches, but right underneath their nose, CCM is creeping in. I saw a good church. My wife and I were watching. The pastor, I love to death. I love him to death. Good church. Excellent church. Good sound church. But they had a couple people get up and sing a special this past week or within the last 2 weeks. And sure enough, they were singing an a cappella. But guess what? It's a CCM song. Brethren, I'm telling you, it's creeping in right underneath the noses of preachers. And the reason I'm kind of hard on it is because I came out of it. Yeah. I came out of the CCM stuff. I had all the music. I had all the CDs. My parents wouldn't let me listen to secular music. So I gorged myself in a CCM movement. DC Talk, whatever, Newsboys, who's going to be here with Franklin Graham on the 24th. I used to have all their stuff. So I have a little bit of knowledge on this music stuff, and that's why I'm so strict within this church. Because this stuff will creep good preachers. I'm telling you, Brent, this is a good preacher. I would love to be able to teach the way he teaches. But right underneath his nose, you go look it up, and it's a CCM group. Got good words to it. Got a different beat, though. But you can't really pick it out when it's sung a cappella. Brethren, Satan had tabrets. Those are drums. He had drums and he had pipes. And he's using it today, brethren. And he's pulling a lot of people away. Look what it says in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till what? Look what the Bible says. Till iniquity was found in thee. Look at, you could say if I had a perfect environment, I'd do right. No, you wouldn't. You would not. If I just had a perfect environment, if I was just put in a perfect environment, I would never sin. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Satan was created in perfection. There was no iniquity in him when God made him. And the Bible says, till iniquity was found in him, and that's when he got in trouble. Why? Because he started getting lifted up with pride. Because of what? Because he was full of wisdom and he was perfect in beauty. So you see, there's a wisdom that comes from the devil, from this earth, from this, it's essential wisdom. And if it's a wisdom that begins to lift you up with pride, that's not coming from God. That's a devilish wisdom. Any preacher or any individual that gets behind a pulpit across these United States and they begin to get lifted up because they're in this position, that's essential devilish wisdom. And it's not coming from God. And it's dangerous. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 6, not a novice, lest he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You get somebody that's new in the faith and all of a sudden you make them a pastor and they start getting, and they're a good oratory skills, they got good outlining skills, they can do all, and they can start getting the praise and the adulation of man. And they start getting lifted up with pride because they begin to think it's about them and what they're able to do rather than God who's working through them. And they fall into the same condemnation that the devil fell into. You see, the devil needed to realize that I'm not the one who gave me these things. It was me, my creator, who made me this way. We never have any opportunity in our lives, brethren, to get lifted up with pride and think we've arrived and we've got it all together. If we are ever in that position, it's because God's allowed us to get there. And it's because of Him that we're there, not because of our own intellect. That's a devilish, sensual, earthly type of wisdom. Look at verse number 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. God says, listen, brethren, God will not put up with pride in our life. God will not put up with pride in our life. When we begin to get lifted up, because either our wisdom or our beauty or any of our accomplishments, it is a stench in the nostril of God. And this, what was going on with Satan, became a stench in the nostril of God. And God says, I will cast thee out, even though you were the cherub that covereth. Brethren, these things are serious with God, brethren. These things are very serious with God. Take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 12. Deuteronomy 8, and look at verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 12. What the Bible says here. Actually, look at verse number 10. We're going to start in verse 10. This warning that God gives His people in the Old Testament, I believe we can find the principles to apply it to our lives spiritually as well today. Deuteronomy 8, look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Look what he says in verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Look what verse 14 says. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, Christians need to always remember where they came from. Always remember where you came from. You're a sinner saved by grace and nothing more. God has allowed and given a precious gift in his son, Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, you then become a son of God. But don't forget that you were a dog. That you're a sinner that is saved by grace. And there's never a time in a Christian's walk to where, help us to squash it quick, Lord, if we ever begin, like I said earlier, to feel that pride begin to rise up. That we take that sword of spirit as quick as we can and cut that snake's head off. Okay? Lest it creep up in our life. And God gives warning to his people. God says, when all these good things begin to happen to you, don't lift it up with pride, thinking that your hands provided yourself with these things. That God says, I gave them to you. And remember that. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Look at the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. You find this same principle right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Paul writing to the church, and he says, these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us. Look what he says. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Paul's saying, and Paul is giving a warning to this church at Corinth because they're a dumpster fire. The church at Corinth is a dumpster fire. It is a church that is in a mess. You have incestuous relationships going on. You have pride going on. You have brother and sister taking each other to law. You have all kinds of things going on. They're arguing about spiritual gifts and who's going to be the greatest of them and who baptized who. And look back at chapter 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 12 or verse number 11. This church is in a mess. And look what Paul tells him in the very beginning, verse number 11 of chapter 1. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Well, why are there contentions? Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul's trying to get their attention. Why? Because they started getting into groups. Well, I'm of this individual, and I'm of this individual, and I'm of this. Well, I'll tell you what, this one baptized me. Well, that's not better. This guy baptized me, and he's better than that guy. You see it today in churches. Well, we got Dr. So-and-so coming in, and the church is packed out. Brethren, I saw it about, how many years ago was it now? 21 years ago. Oh, man, 21 years ago. I'll give you an example I saw. 21 years ago, I went to a camp meeting. And I went in there first time. I'd just been saved for a year. Went to this camp meeting. Big old camp meeting. Big camp meeting. Went into it. Got to shake the hand of a man that really had an influence in my wife and I getting saved. But I remember there was a buzz through that whole camp meeting that whole time. Because Friday night, Dr. So-and-so was coming in. And there was a buzz through the whole place. And I remember my father-in-law, I love him to death, Mr. Tom, He took me aside. He said, listen, I want you to meet a man. He said, I want you to meet one of the meekest men I've ever known in my life. And he took me back into the kitchen area of this camp meeting. And back in his kitchen area, it was hot, it was stuffy. And here comes this older man, 60 or 70 years old, coming out of there. He's got on an apron, and he's got his hands there, and he is helping because they're shorthanded in the kitchen. And he says, I want you to meet this man right here. And he said, this man's got an edge. He's telling me all this before I get to meet him. He says, you want to talk about this man's got education, he's got this, blah, blah, blah. And so I get to meet this man. And when somebody mentions this guy who's coming in at night, he almost spits on the ground. And he says, the only reason they're coming is because of the name, not because of God. And brethren, when this man showed up in the camp, he was driving this fancy car. He gets out with a long trench coat. On the front of his car, it says, Dr. So-and-so. And inside of his trench coat, he's even opened it, showing everybody, Dr. So-and-so. And it was an honorary degree anyways. So the man didn't even earn it, which I ain't got no respect for it anyways. Because I don't know how hard it is to try to go get a doctorate degree. You just don't, get it. It takes years and years and years and years and years to get a real one. This one was honorary anyways. Doctorate degree. Lifted up with pride. Arrogant. Like, if you even got near him, it was like, don't touch me. Holier than thou. Nonsense. Show me right here. Show me right here. Show me, get the Bible and say, preacher, I can justify that action. No. Absolutely not. And I, through the years, I ended up going to that man's church. I almost left my church to go because he had a little Bible school there. I almost went to his church. Wise man, wise man. Went out with his wife one time, loved him to death, and he had some gems of wisdom. But guess where you found it? Off in a hot kitchen. Not behind an uplifted pulpit. Brethren, I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to find the gems of wisdom from God, it's not going to be in the places you think. It's going to be off in some obscure place, off in a mountain somewhere, in a grandma or grandpa that hasn't had much in this life, but they love God and they've gone through some things, and they can give you some gems of Christian wisdom. More so than the highest man in any college or university across our land. Why? Because God takes pleasure in the humble. And God abhors and God disdains the prideful. And any man that gets lifted up of pride, God's got nothing to do with that man. But if that man will stay meek and humble and lowly like another man I know in the Bible called Jesus, you'll find something. And brethren, the devil got lifted up with pride. He got lifted up with arrogancy. He got lifted up with his beauty. He looked at himself and he thought for a moment that I can be greater than God. Take your Bible. We're almost done this evening. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12. We need to be careful today of these wisdoms. Of this wisdom in particular. Next week we'll close this thing out, hopefully even with Jonah. But I believe Jonah, in the latter part of the book of Jonah, Jonah was acting like a fool in his reactions and how he conducted himself. And I believe Jonah didn't have a proper type of wisdom of who really God was. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse number 12. If you read your Bible, very familiar portion of Scripture. But look again at how the devil is described. And start like verse number 11. Isaiah 14, 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials. There's music again, and there's him being lifted up with his pomp. That word pomp means show of magnificence. It means a parade. It means a display of power. It says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Look what it says in verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. God help us, brethren, that we never, ever get lifted up with pride. And the times where we feel it creeping up in our life, may God help us to squash it quickly. I want to close with this last individual in the Bible. Look at the Bible. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. You find a common thread through these individuals as I close out here this evening. Look at Daniel chapter 4. And look at verse number 8. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 8. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and his magicians and his astrologers and his Chaldeans can't figure the thing out. So Nebuchadnezzar knows where to go, and he calls Daniel into his presence. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 8, "But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw my vision of my head upon my bed, and behold," look what this now says, "a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off the branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and let the fowls from his branches." You see here, brethren, verse number 13. You see, the Bible shows that Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He has this vision upon his bed. And he sees in his vision, in his head, upon the bed, a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven. I believe it's an angel. Comes down from heaven and says, hew this tree down, cut it down, cut off its branches, and hew it down to a stump. Why? Take your Bible, look down at verse number 17. This matter is the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent. Why did the angels, why did the watchers, why did the holy ones demand this to happen? To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. You know who's in charge with all world governments right now? God. God. And right here we find an example in the Bible. God will set up over kingdoms the basest of men. But God gives them their authority to be there. And when that individual begins to glory in their power and in their might and in their strength, and don't give that glory and adoration to God who's allowed them to be in that position, the watchers, the holy ones, will say to God in heaven, cut them down to a stump, that he might realize that he's not there because of his own power, but because you put him there, God. You see, brethren, there's a whole other world out there. There's a whole other spiritual world out there. And it's what they're watching. There's devils, there's angels, there's Satan, there's God, there's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there's the Holy Spirit that can be quenched. You got a whole spiritual world going on out here that our eyes can't see, nor would I want to see. And there's, the Bible says that there's watchers, there's holy ones who watch in how we conduct ourselves. And God forbid I would ever want God or one of the holy ones or one of the watchers to say, hey, Lord, I think that one needs to be cut down because he's getting a little too prideful. He's getting a little too lifted up in himself and in his knowledge and in his wisdom and his beauty and his accolades and his achievements. And God, I think he needs to be cut down to remember who he is. You see, some God will cut down to give the ability to come back, but there's some who know better, like Nebuchadnezzar's son. He knew better, and God cuts him down, and he never rises up again. Brethren, this wisdom that comes from the earth, this devilish, dissensual wisdom that lifts man up in pride and in pomp and in arrogancy, may God help us not to fall into those traps of that wisdom. You know, if you read the rest of the verses 26 through 30, Nebuchadnezzar gets warned by Daniel, but he doesn't heed the warning of Daniel, and 12 months later, he's cut down to nothing. And the Bible says that for 7 years, he wanders in the pastures, and his nails grow super long, and his hair grows long, and he's given the heart of a beast, and he eats the grass like cows, and he's driven to insanity, but God gives him back his mind at the end. And look at verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven and all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk, look what he says, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You know, you'll say, preacher, well, that's Old Testament. And, you know, well, if you go into the New Testament, you find another man that got lifted up with praise. Another man that got lifted up with pride, and he began to get full of himself, especially when the people cried out, it's the voice of a God. And Herod didn't turn around, and Herod knew better. Herod knew better. And Herod should have said, no, I'm the voice of a God. I'm a man just like you're a man. But he took on that glory, he took on that praise, and God struck him dead right there. That's exactly what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He got struck down. That's exactly what happened to Belteshazzar in the next chapter. Brethren, be careful of the wisdom and knowledge that might puff us up or get us to a point to where we think we're something because of the knowledge we have or the wisdom we know or accolades that we might get. Brethren, help us always. May God help us always to remember that we're nothing but dirt. That's an inside joke. I had to be careful with my words right there. But we're nothing. We're nothing. If anybody wants to know later on, I'll tell you. We're nothing outside of Jesus Christ, brethren. And if we have anything, it's because God's given it to us. And if God's given it to us, let's use it for his glory and honor. If he's given you a talent, if he's given something that you can do and you're good at, use it for the glory of God. And always walk humbly with your Creator. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this precious book, Lord. Lord, I pray, dear God, there's a lot more. There's a lot of the verses. There's a lot more verses in the Word of God concerning this, dear God. And it can be an exhaustive study. So, Lord, help us, Lord, just to take heed to what we looked at tonight, dear God. Help us not to fall in the traps of Satan. Lord, help us not. Help us be have discernment. Lord, help us to be help us to have discerning spirits, dear Lord. Help us not to get lifted up with pride, but Lord, help us to abase our pride. And Lord, help us to put it on that cross every day, dear God. And Lord, walk in the newness of life. Lord, help us to strengthen the inner man, and Lord, mortify the deeds of this body. So, Lord, help us to walk in this life that will bring you glory and honor, Lord. We'll pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.